Amen. Thank you, Junior. Had it not been, message and song. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at the nature of the resurrection body. Last week, we saw and looked and studied about Jesus' resurrection. And this morning, we're going to look at our part in the resurrection, when the rapture happens, or if we should go on to be with the Lord before that happens, what happens to the body? How many of you would like to know? I know I have been asked many, many times by different people, what happens to our body, or where do we go, or what happens after death? And I wanted to follow up from last Sunday, because from Easter to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be a resurrection of our bodies one of these days. And Jesus shared with Martha and Mary about Lazarus. You know, he is alive, and they thought he was talking about the resurrection, but he did tell him to rise, come alive, Lazarus, and he did. So this morning we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 and 42. And also in your spare time this afternoon, Jesus talks about this same thing, about the wheat be planted in the ground, it won't produce unless the seed dies. And that's a mystery, isn't it? You ever thought about take a naked seed, as the scripture calls it, and it might be a bean, or it might be a corn or peas or whatever, and you look at that and you say, how could it grow up to be a beautiful plant and then multiple of fruits or vegetables comes from that? Isn't it amazing how, matter of fact, this scientist decided he was going to, reproduce the seeds and things like that. Well, he did. He was successful in coming up with the seeds that matched its appearance, and he planted those. They died and they rotted. But you take the seeds that God has made in their nature and the mystics of the dying and producing fruit, and they live. See, that's the difference. Man cannot copy the things of God and be successful in it. Only God can do that. So, as we look at the scripture this morning, let's look at verse 35, and I'll read verse 32. Now, as I was studying last night and early this morning, I thought, man, there's no way to cover all of these 35 through 42, so I'm just going to cover 35 through 37 this morning, which would be just part A, raised to a new dimension, because there's so much here for us to grasp. And Paul makes it very clear by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write these things. I'll read through 42 this morning. First of all, verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they have? And then he says in verse 36, you fool, or you deceived, or you of doubt, is what Paul is saying. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And a seed will not come to life if it doesn't die in the ground. And then verse 37, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of man, and another flesh of beast, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of sun, another glory of moon, and another glory of the stars, for the star differs from the star in glory. Amen. And then verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. So, to give you an idea of what Paul is talking about here in this one verse, there is a difference between the physical and the resurrection bodies. In the physical body, the body we have right here, it's perishable, right? But according to Paul, the resurrection body or bodies, where the body of Christ, is imperishable. That means you're going to live forever. Amen? Where's that going to be? In heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we look at the sown in disorder in the physical body, it's raised in glory. Think about that. We're raised in glory. When the physical body, looking at it, sown in weakness. But in the resurrection body, it's raised in power. The power of our Almighty God. And then our bodies are natural, okay? The old flesh, you think about that. Which, the old flesh, the old body, it can sin, right? But then when you look at the resurrection body, it's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to be just like Jesus Christ. And then, the physical body, it goes to what? When it's buried, it goes to what? Dust to dust. We were created, formed from dust, and our bodies in the physical state will go back to dust. But in the spiritual realm, the heavenly and the resurrection body, it will go to heaven. I like what Paul says when he says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So, looking this morning, you know, the resurrection of the dead is one of the most important teachings of the Bible, of the gospel. And we need to know it. We need to be assured of what's going to take place when this body is laid to rest, that we have no fear, that we know that if God brings us into this world, he can take us to heaven afterwards. You know, it helps me when the Bible explains it. You know, you just take nature. Take the seed, as I was talking about a while ago, whether it's wheat or whatever grain it is, vegetables, and you plant that little seed in the ground. Before it can live again, it has to die. And that's what happens to our body. We live, but we die, but then we live again. And that's what Paul was talking about here this morning. So, after having established that the resurrection of Christ, the promise of the raising again of the believer's body, Paul answers the question. He says, what kind of body will the raised dead have? Now that was a question, because he was asked that question. So he was just kind of repeating, okay, let me tell you how that's going to be. So divine revelation helps us understand the resurrection of the dead. Divine revelation. And the divine revelation comes from God. He inspired the word, according to 2 Corinthians 3:16, all scripture is inspired, it's God-breathed. So therefore, whatever the scripture said, we know it came from God. It's a revelation, and it was given to Apostle Paul and the apostles and the prophets to write it down so that we as believers can understand, we can study and understand, okay, this temporary life is not the end, as so many in this world believe, atheists or whoever, unbelievers may think. But Paul is saying, hey, it's a divine revelation from God that we will live again. So God tells us that it is the resurrection of a new body that will then carry us on into the eternal ages to come. And eternal ages means infinity, or forever and ever and ever. So this section right here also corrects the common errors concerning the nature of the resurrection body. That's what Paul is clarifying. He said, let's get this straight. And Paul was, as I said last Sunday, he was all in, right? When he got saved, God changed his life. He was all in. So he says, first of all, it's not the same body that was laid in the grave, simply recreated. Secondly, the new body is related to the original one. It is related, but it's not the same. Fleshly body, glorified body, a spiritual body. So here the scriptures explain that it will be the body God has chosen or designated in verse 38 that I just read. Now, it will be related again to the original body, but it won't be the same, which is in verse 36 I read a while ago. Yet it will be different. And the difference will be explained in verses 39 through 41 next week, okay? All right. But this morning, 35 through 37, we'll be talking about the raise to a new dimension. And that new dimension I will explain to you exactly. So first of all, raise to a new dimension. One objection to belief in anyone's resurrection might be its incomprehensibility, okay? That's what I would call it. So this incomprehension was a point of two questions. How and what? How and what? Kids ask that a lot, don't they? How did this happen? What is this? And we explain it to you, to them, right? And that's what I wanted to do this morning, to make it clear about our resurrection body. So how and what, that is asked in verse 35. Now 35 says, again, someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? So the first question is, how are the dead raised? How was Christ raised? Did he raise himself? No. The Heavenly Father raised Jesus Christ from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the first question is, how are they raised dead and with what kind of body? So most likely come from those who are doubting and denying the resurrection body. And that's why Apostle Paul posed a question that was directed to him. How is this going to happen? And one objection is to the idea of resurrection was and still is, it's seemingly impossible. In that day and in our day today, in our day and time. So how can a corrupted and dissolved body be restored to life? Well, the Bible said nothing's impossible with God, right? Nothing is impossible with Him. So how is it possible for new life to come out of death? Paul refused to even answer the idea that resurrection is impossible. He didn't focus on the impossible. He focused on the reality of Jesus Christ's resurrection and our resurrection one of these days. So why would anyone who acknowledges a creator God think his bodies is forever, whatever way, would be any difficult for him than making them in the first place, or making us or creating us in the first place? Doesn't make sense at all, does it? A almighty God, a powerful God, all-knowing, omnipresent, that God can do anything he can. And to Paul, the first requires no reply. It is obvious. God will raise the dead by his irresistible creative power. He spoke the world into existence, didn't he? He spoke it from nothing. It was a void, according to Genesis 1:1. God is all-powerful. And second question was, what kind of body? What kind of body we're going to have? Is echoed by many today as well. So some simply cannot imagine a dead man walking. That is a reanimated corpse. So Paul anticipates that the question, by insisting the resurrection means a transformation in from a physical body into a glorified body. So it is a question that 36 through 42 will answer. All right. So Paul did not consider these questions a doubt or sort a wise person would raise, as it is obvious from the response here in verse 36, where it says, "You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies." So Paul says, how foolish. How foolish anyone to think that. How senseless or thoughtless can this be to think that? See, Paul would have been on that side before he got saved, before he had that encounter with Christ. He would have thought the same thing. But when he saw the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power he demonstrated and the majestics of how everything worked and how God, you know, didn't take him out, but he said, "I'm going to use you. You're going to suffer for my sake." And Paul did, didn't he? And he did it willingly. He did it willingly. So, to help us to understand this unexplainable miracle, Paul uses three allegories. First of all is the illustration of the farm. Agriculture age. When everyone depends on the sowing and reaping, two things were obvious. You know, when I was a young boy, raised up on a farm, and my grandfather said, "Okay, it's time to plant." And I said, "What are we going to be planting?" And he would say, "Corn and wheat and all the vegetables and the garden stuff and everything." And we put the seed in the ground, and I didn't understand that at all. Why are you putting it in and then covering it up and burying it? Well, he would tell me, "Poppy Hale," he said, "that seed will die and you're going to see the most beautiful plant come up. And it's going to have all kind of vegetables, and beans, and corn, and lima beans, and okra, and all of these things that we planted. Potatoes and sweet potatoes. And I said, how does that happen? He said, God makes it happen. He makes it happen. And then he would even read it in the scriptures to me, like I'm reading and we're reading this morning. And I said, boy, that's a mystery to me. And it is, isn't it? How that works. But first of all, as we see, the seed sown in the ground dies before it sprouts with new life. It dies. And it must cease to exist in the original form as the little seed. Actually, you know, when you put it in the ground, its original form actually discomposing as a seed before it can come to life in its final form as a plant, a beautiful plant, just like in our physical body, in our beautiful glorified body. So seeds placed in the ground don't grow up unless they die first, okay? Before Christ could bear the fruit of salvation for us, what did he do? Before he could bear the fruits of, for us, of salvation, what did he have to do? He had to die so that we would bear the fruits of salvation. He offered his life. He died. He raised to bear fruit for our salvation, that we might one of these days die but live again just like him. Just as with growing crops, there had to be an end to the old before there could be a beginning of the new. Now, in the case of men, one body would die to give life to another. Now, secondly, the plant that rises from the soil has a different body from the naked seed that was sown, as I described a while ago. And that plant that grows looks very different from the seed because God gives it a new body, okay? The self-same seed that dies in the ground is raised in a transformed body, okay? You die, and then one of these days, when Jesus comes back, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up. And instantaneously, you will be transformed with a new body. It'll be somewhat like the original one, but it'll be different. It won't be physical, because flesh and blood will not enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it would be a sinful body, right? That's what we have right now. Even though we're saved, we still have the tendency to do what? Sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you be in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That means that we're walking in the newness of life with Christ. But we still have the old nature with the temptations and things in this life that causes us to maybe move or fall into sin. But we are new creation in Christ Jesus, and with the glorified body that enters heaven, it will be a spiritual glorified body. Now, our Lord said in Mark 4, verse 26 through 28, the Lord says, The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to the bed at night and gets up by day, and seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the mature grain in the head. Now, many of you plant tulips, right? And other flowers that come in later. I was quite amazed. Well, every year I go out and I begin watching for those tulips to pop up through the ground. And they come up, little old blades. And it seems like what the scripture says here, you go out the next morning and they're another inch or two higher, right? You with me? And I must have missed a day. I forgot to look. And I come down, I come out, and now they've got the blooms, the blossoms, the flower on them. It's amazing, isn't it, how fast they grow. God's creation is amazing. And I'll always say, Lord, thank you for the beauty of your creation, that you allow us to enjoy, that it brightens our life. And all of those things that seem so dormant or dead during the winter, they spring up with new life. It's just like Easter, right? Christ died, he rose again on the third day. And see, that is so, what is so amazing about spring. Everything, you know, looks dead and gloomy and all that stuff. And then early in the spring, it starts warming up and all of these things starts coming up out of the ground. And the trees begin to bloom with little buds and so forth, and then the little flowers, and then what comes next? The leaves. Quite amazing how God designed this world. And since there is order in nature, we have to expect order in the resurrection of the body. Amen? We need to expect that. Now, in verse 37 continues the principle of growing and reaping, which says, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be. No, you don't. But bear a grain, perhaps, of wheat or something else. And that's what happens. You plant it, it dies, and it produces the plant or something else, whatever it is. So the resurrection is not a reconstruction, not at all. It is the continuation of our body existence. But it is not the same body we sow in the earth that has turned to dust. Okay? Both in the growing of crops and in the resurrection of the bodies, there is a difference between the original sow and the final form. And the seed that you sow, whether it be wheat or something else, as the scripture just said, only after it is planted in the ground and discomposes does it transform into the what I would call a mature plant, a beautiful flower, or whatever that might be. That's how a resurrection body would be. Placed in the ground to dust, but miraculously, a glorified body appears. Body, and Apostle Paul says, you know, a lot of people, this is the number one question people ask me, what happens after death? What transpires when a person dies, breathes their last breath? I always tell them, according to Apostle Paul in the scriptures, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. Instantaneously, just like when he comes back again. And in Corinthians chapter 15, he's talking about in the twinkling of an eye that he will come back in the clouds. Trumpet will sound. The angels will proclaim the King of Kings is coming. So Jesus' resurrection body was far different from the one which died. It was not longer limited to time, space, or material substance. So during his appearance, Jesus went to the disciples and others that traveled around, and he made himself appear, made himself known, so that people could see him. And he said in Luke and John chapter 20 and verse 19, he appeared and disappeared at will and entered rooms without opening the door. Now, when you think about that, the disciples were in a room and they were probably talking about Jesus, talking about things that occurred during the crucifixion and resurrection. Even Thomas was, present at this time. And Jesus appeared and they were afraid, because they wasn't expecting Jesus just to appear. He didn't open a door. He didn't come in through a door. He appeared. So that's how the glorified body, the spiritual body, that's what took place with Jesus. He went from the physical body to the glorified body. And one of these days, that's what we will have as well. Now, in conclusion, the resurrection changed Jesus' body in a miraculous and radical ways. And his return, resurrection body will change miraculously and marvelously. So, in the glory of our resurrection bodies, there will be what I would call the awesome blare of a trumpet of God. The majestic voice of Jesus calling our bodies from the graves. As in 1 Corinthians Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are dead, alive and remain will be called up to be with the Lord. So in our glorious resurrection bodies, like that of Jesus himself, we will ascend into the clouds and meet Jesus, the King of Kings, in the air. Now, Jesus will not sit foot upon this earth, but we will be caught up. Or you often hear the word rapture, but we will be caught up, and rapture is not in the Bible, but we'll be caught up with Jesus in the air. That's how that would take place. And forever and ever, Jesus said, we will do what? Shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. That's what the scripture says. And because of Christ's resurrection, each Christian can look at the experience of death in face and be confidently saved. We'll all be able to say, shake me off, I have wings, okay? I'll live anyway. That what we can say when it comes our time, or when the rapture happens. What wonderful that will be. See, we all have a body, and each look different. Aren't you glad? We all look different. God, you think about all the billions of people in the world, and we're all different. We all look different. Each has different strengths and weaknesses, but as a physical, earthly bodies, they are all alike. We're all alike. And all believers are promised life after death and a body like Christ. In verse 49, which says, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, in verse 49. What is that called? A resurrection body. You know, that should encourage each one of us. Give us even more hope and encouragement. Understanding that, you know, God brought us into this world, and He is going to take us into another world called heaven, a place. You know, I like what Psalms 23 says, you know, that we will dwell there forever and ever and ever. And that word dwell means to settle down and be at home. And we'll be at home with Jesus. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely and goodness. Surely goodness and mercy. David had that right, didn't he? He ended that chapter with that verse. I will be dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that includes every one of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for the message today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a great chapter, giving us understanding of Jesus' resurrected body and ours as well. That this life is not the end, and the new life in heaven is a new beginning. Like our bodies, we're born, we grow, we get older and older, we get frail, things happen in physically bodies, but in the glorified body, it will be perfect. No more sickness, death, illnesses, no more pain, no more trips to the doctor. It'll be wonderful, and that'll be forever and ever. So Lord, give us the wisdom and understanding of your word and help us to have more faith and trust and live out your word each day in our life as we read it and study it and understand that you had a plan from the very beginning of the foundations of this earth and this world, that we're going to spend eternity with you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for sending Christ, who willingly went to the cross and died for the sin of this world. We're all sin and come short of your glory. But in heaven, we'll experience glory in your power and your majesty, because you are the King of Kings. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that you have been speaking to or touching their heart in a way they know maybe they need to make some changes or just come to you and say, Lord, I'm your servant. How can I serve? How can I be used for your honor and glory? Whatever the decisions are today, Lord, may be freely and be openly express ourselves to your invitation as we come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn